Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. Paul Angelonis, joined in the studio today by Matt Garrett.
Hey.
How's it going?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Philippe is not here.
Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. Just kidding.
Thank God that guy. He took a break. He's not here. Matt's here to fill in.
I was going to wear his jacket. He offered it to me before the show. I said, there's no way I'm wearing that ugly thing.
I should dress like Philippe when he's not here, actually. I'm like, we're the most contrasted co-host with our dress. I wear a hat and a hoodie, and he wears a suit jacket every time we, but we're excited today for the last episode of 2024.
Wow. What a privilege to be here today.
Amen.
Oh no. Amen.
Let's hope we finish off on the right note.
Oh gosh.
And go into the new year with some freshness and some excitement about what God's going to do in 2025. It's really fun to be here, and I'm really looking forward to the conversation we're going to have today.
Yeah,
the topic is newness this week, and today our specific theme is new wine. And in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus uses that as an answer to a question that the disciples have about the way that the Pharisees act and the way that they act and the differences between those two things. And maybe I'll just read that portion of scripture so that we can kind of have that context for the conversation. It says, Matthew chapter 9, verse 14, and we'll go through 17. It says, then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. So new wine and new wineskins. Maybe, Matt, do you want to open us up with just the comment or start the conversation off with these verses?
What comes to your mind? I'm going to make a joke first. It's not really a joke, but we talked about right before we started late today because we're millennials and we don't like these constraints on our lives. What would you say? The persona put on us most of the time.
Yeah.
Just jokingly, new wineskins, old wineskins, new wine, old wine. Sometimes you look at rules, you look at rigidness, you look at standards and procedures, and you think, that's not for me. Mm. It's just kind of a part of growing up, really. Mm-hmm. But if we actually go to the text and we take it seriously and we look at the context, mm-hmm. the disciples come with a question about fasting, really. Mm-hmm. Like, first and foremost, fasting. And then we'll get into how that relates to rules in a little bit. But why are they so focused on the idea of fasting? Because they see these different groups of followers mm-hmm. fasting.
Yeah.
But when they see these other groups of followers fasting, one very interesting characteristic of how they fast is they do it so publicly and so much so in a way that everyone knows that they're fasting.
Yeah.
That Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount a couple chapters prior, Matthew chapter 6, surely they already have their reward. Mm-hmm. Like, they're doing it openly for everyone to see. But okay, so how does this all relate? New wineskins, old wineskins, new wine. New wine has to go into a new wineskin. We can talk about that maybe in a second. But fasting is this tried and tested practice mm-hmm. of the Israelites.
Yes.
And it is a way to get closer to God. It is a way to be more in tune with what God is saying. It is a sacrificial act that one can make. But should it be done outwardly? Or should this be something that's taking place in the heart mm-hmm. and with genuineness towards God and not really so much for a result, but rather for the sake of the relationship? Mm-hmm. And I think you could make that comparison to the two types. New wine and a new wineskin has to be together for scientific reasons. Mm-hmm. And then metaphorically, it mm-hmm. goes together when we talk about Christ's teachings versus maybe the Mosaic covenant mm-hmm. and those teachings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe thinking about that new wineskins and new wine and the reason, you know, what we read in the scripture, like when there's a new wineskin, it is the leather. It typically at this time, it was like a leather pouch that was used to store the wine that was put into it. And over a new wineskin would have some flexibility, would have some tenderness to the leather that would allow it to expand with the new, with the wine that was put into it, which mm-hmm. would also, as it fermented, would expand, and the wineskin would expand with the wine so that it would be able to store and to keep that liquid inside of it. And what we're seeing in the scripture is that when you put new wine into an already expanded, already flexed, already reached its capacity wineskin, that that new wine has no ability to expand, or the wine will ferment and expand and will actually break that old wineskin. And that's the picture that we are seeing that Jesus is obviously putting, that there is a capacity where the new wine and the new wineskin are supposed to expand together as opposed to having an expansion or having a vessel that is already at its maximum where there's no opportunity for expansion. And I think that that is a great picture of, I mean, the picture of what Christ is doing in general for the law and for the followers of his, and just also for believers in Christ in general, those, mm-hmm. The people of Israel, the nation of Israel, is that you have a capacity that you've had for thousands of years that mm-hmm. you've seen, and this is what you know to be your worship. And mm-hmm. I'm here to basically break that and to bring you into a new opportunity and a new form of worship or a new way of doing things, which correlates and actually is the fulfillment of what you've been doing all this time, all along.
Yeah.
But now it's actually going to make it even bigger and even greater and have a newness and a freshness to it that, as we see in different, you know, in this picture, it can break that, those categories, and break that wineskin that you're so familiar with and that you have lived your life by. So now what am I supposed to do, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, so the new wine goes into an old wineskin and it's completely incompatible. Mm-hmm. And the old wineskin breaks because it's so rigid and rough and no longer has, like, it's lost all its elasticity, its flexibility.
Yes.
And so both are ruined. The wineskin breaks and the wine is poured out and it's meaningless. Mm. But when the new wine goes into the new wineskin, they grow together. They mm-hmm. they transform together. Mm-hmm. Like the teaching, think of the wine, metaphorically, think of the wine as the teaching of Christ mm-hmm. going into the new creation, the new believer.
Yes.
All the disciples of Christ were untaught, unlearned men, fishermen, a tax collector, not the cream of the crop.
Yes, yes, yes.
They were not the guys who did well in rabbi school.
When
do I get out of here, Mom?
Exactly.
When can I go play? When can I go build a table or whatever the case may be? Sure. When can I go do something practical and real?
Yeah.
None of it is practical or real. This all goes back to, you know, what they started talking about yesterday, Isaiah 43:18-19. It says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Mm. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Yeah.
The new wine has to go into a new vessel. It has to go into a new vessel. We are all new vessels the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. Mm. Parallel idea or thought is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 mm-hmm. and verse 17. Oh boy, find it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new wineskin. Think of it that way, a new creature, a new wineskin. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now here's Jesus walking with his disciples and people are wondering, hey, they do things a little different.
Yeah.
It either is before or after this passage. I think it's maybe right after this passage that you have another instance of they're doing things different. Mm-hmm. It's the Sabbath day mm-hmm. and they start plucking the corn, the wheat kernels off out of the field.
Yeah.
And like, that's a big no-no.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the old wine, in the old wines, that's a big no-no. In the law, that's, you don't transgress the Sabbath.
Yes.
And Jesus is like, hey, new wineskins. Man was not made for the Sabbath. Really, Sabbath was made for the man.
Yeah.
You need a new heart. You mm-hmm. need a renewed mind. You yeah. need the life of Christ and the Spirit of God in you to hear that saying, receive it.
Yeah.
And both the wine, the teaching, and you yourself are transformed
yeah.
at the same time.
Yeah. That's, I think, the teaching of Christ and the newness of it and the expansion of it in your life. And then also like the reality of this salvation and like the sacredness and the holiness that was linked with all these things that they were doing.
Yeah.
And we see it in Acts chapter 11 with Peter, and he's like, has this sheet come down, and God tells, he's like supposed to eat yeah. something. And he's like, oh, why?
No.
I can't do it. And we can maybe see ourselves in that picture as well.
Yeah.
Whatever customs you know, were raised in, or these things are all so important. And God is very specific in the Old Testament about, this is how you worship me. This is how you do yeah. this. This is how you do that. And maybe the Jewish people and the leaders took it, or the Pharisees took it maybe a little too far in making sure they're doing all these things and missing the whole point of it. But right. at any rate, there is a understanding of, this is how I am saved. This is how I am redeemed, mm-hmm. is by these acts and by these things and by these standards. And now yes. Christ is bringing in this new thing, which is like, okay, you're saved by grace through faith.
Yeah.
You know, for God so loved the world. You
yeah.
know, he gave his only son. And that whole idea and that whole picture is now like we said, bursting all these old wineskins of, well, I thought this is how I did it. Mm-hmm. And we see that even in our culture today, where I think this is how I'm supposed to get saved. I think this is how mm-hmm. I earn my way to heaven. Or mm-hmm. these are the categories that have been established in my life as a means to reach God.
Yes.
And Christ is bringing this other option or this alternate viewpoint, where Christ has come to me
yeah.
and now he has given me this opportunity and this gift of grace, where I am not abiding or keeping these different things. I am actually growing in and understanding something more, something greater that
yeah.
brings me closer to God, as opposed to me earning my way to
yes.
God.
Yeah.
So I think that's like a, you know, that shift of like salvation, redemption, that is a big part of this too. This new wine is not me, and not, I think also like the preservation mm-hmm. or like the, what's the word I want to use? Like, I'm good with this way of doing
yeah.
things.
Like comfortable.
I'm comfortable with this. Yeah. I know what I'm supposed to do, and I can do it, you yeah. know, in one sense. But yeah. reality is, in Romans 3, we learn that the law was given to shut every mouth,
right?
To know that you can't do
not
it.
To justify ourselves with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't meant for us to be able to boast in it, or to say, oh, I know what I'm doing, or I'm able to do anything.
Right.
But it shuts our mouth, but we can still be comfortable in yeah. understanding, okay, well, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm good.
But
up
I can
to this
fast.
Point. Yeah,
I can fast. Exactly. Yeah, give me a day. I won't eat a thing. I won't take a sip of water or coffee.
Exactly.
I won't do it.
Yeah, and in doing that, we like miss out on. I mean, I think like the Pharisees, Jesus, the Son of God, is literally walking with them,
yes.
and they're missing that because they're so focused on
yeah.
these traditions,
but
this
I'm
old
fasting.
Wine.
I'm fasting.
Exactly.
No, I can't. I'm fasting.
I'm fasting.
Oh, no, it's the Sabbath. I can't touch.
Did you just heal that guy?
Yeah. Did he lift up his hand? Is it no longer withered?
Did you pick up your bed? Wait, you were
How
laying
you?
In that bed. Now oh, you're walking down.
Yeah. That's work on the Sabbath. We're taking you to the temple to be disciplined.
Exactly. It's like, I mean, it's such an
old wine.
Yeah. It's the old
wine
skin. And, like, and they're holding on to that old wineskin, like not wanting it to be burst.
Yes.
Not wanting it to, because if that
yeah.
framework is no longer functional,
right.
the wine spilled, the old wine spills out. None
yes.
of the things that I have done are meaningful or yeah. have the meaning that they once did. And not only that, but how am I supposed to live my life now if the Sabbath doesn't matter, if the food laws don't matter,
right.
if the fasting doesn't matter?
Yeah.
How do I... And we can be that. I mean, that's how we are as well. Like, if my life isn't about what career I get,
mm-hmm.
if my life isn't about
sure.
how many kids I have,
yeah.
if my life isn't about how many followers or likes I get on social, then what is my life about?
Right.
It's like, oh, it's about the new wine and the new wineskin.
Yes.
And that maybe is something that can be difficult for us to,
I mean,
because it's a huge, huge adjustment in our, of not just how I function as a human being, but the entire worldview and framework.
Your whole perspective. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything you come, like any motivation or purpose you have is challenged when Christ's words come into play.
Yes.
You know, that's why it has to be a new wineskin for his teachings to be received. Now, just to say, like, just to clarify, it's never been any other way than salvation by grace through faith. It's never been any other way.
Correct.
In the entire time. But the way that the Israelites understood this was, well, the Mosaic covenant frames it like this, that if I do this, I will be blessed. And if I don't do this, then I will be cursed.
Yes.
And so they were so focused on the fasting or how they tithed and what they tithed and what percentage of everything that was tithed, like all their goods, all the increase they received, how they entered the temple, how they made their sacrifice, all of that was like very particular.
Yes.
And it shows us the particularity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a word, right? Yes. Okay. The particularity of God and his plan and how specific he really is.
Yes.
But when Christ comes in with these new teachings, it kind of just says, like, all of that is important, but none of that is as important as what you said, as Christ being right there in front of them.
Yeah.
Like, that is the most important thing. Here's Christ speaking to large groups of people, Pharisees, sinners, Sadducees, publicans, like, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
They're all being taught by Christ, and he's saying, you need this wine. In order to receive this wine, you need to be transformed in your heart and mind and soul.
Mm-hmm.
You need to become a new creation. You become a new creation. If you believe in me by grace through faith, like I'm here right now, totally by grace. It was God, like my own decision in eternity past that God would send me as his son here to be with you right now, to be the redemption of Israel, to be the redemption of the entire world. Receive me and you will have everlasting life. It's crazy to me how quick we are. This is every human in every way of life, how quick we are to go, well, this is what I know, so this is what I'm going to stick with.
Yes.
And it's the same here in this passage with the Pharisees. It's the same, like you said, with fathers and mothers everywhere. It's the same with people who have a job. Maybe you're afraid to like put yourself out there and take a bigger step and go for something because, well, this is all I know. This is all I'm comfortable with.
Yes.
But Christ is always encouraging us to walk in newness of life. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, newness of life.
Yes.
And that's like a beautiful thing to be flexible enough to say, okay, yeah, Lord, I don't want to do things my way. I want to do things with your power, your strength, your conviction.
Yeah.
And know that all things will work together for good.
Yeah. And I think that newness of life is something that we've talked a little bit about, like salvation and that work that is done where I recognize my old wineskin and the old wine is not good enough or is not what I made for something more. And I transition and we, you know, whatever, Ezekiel 36:26, new heart and the new spirit. And my life is transformed. And I'm not, I want to, that's a huge aspect of what our lives are about. But then like, there can be this kind of adjustment or familiarity that exists even in that transition that we have. Okay, now my life is, I've accepted Christ. I am a member of the family of God. I am growing in grace and knowledge. And then I've grown up or I've grown as a believer or developed, and there's a transition that happens immediately. And we have testimonies and people talk about that shift that happens. So, yeah, I used to do this and now I don't.
I'm delivered.
I was addicted to drugs on the street, and then now I have a family and a life, and I'm following God, and He's blessing me and all these different things, and we have those transitions. But there's a lot of people, and I think in this, and sometimes it can be interesting to kind of have conversations with people that have had this transformation, but they still can kind of shift into this.
The
new wine can become old wine again.
Yeah.
And the old wineskin, where I'm still, I've had that major shift, I guess, from as far as salvation and positional justification, and that's concerned. But my actual experiential life with Christ can also kind of deteriorate and become old wine. And I think what Christ has, like him in this communication, and for us practically in our life now, is like, okay, the new wine is not just for when I'm saved.
Right.
Or not, and then new wineskin is not just, I mean, it is for that, but not just for that. It's like, okay.
Ongoing.
It's like, I'm always, my wine, maybe I am getting a new wineskin and a new wine continually. It's like, I'm never, it's never old.
Right.
And we can kind of fall into those habitual things where you can do, you just do things because it's what you always do.
Yes.
We kind of, you kind of alluded to that earlier where like I got saved. Mm-hmm. I became a part of a church, and this is how I walk my Christian life. Yeah. And that can be amazing, but also it can become old wine.
It can get really rigid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'd be like, okay, I do this because that's what I do. And like, can I mean, this may be a harsh reality.
Oh, let's hear it. Come on.
Like, can I miss Christ
right.
in what I have had the new wine, I had a new wineskin, and then over time, whatever, I miss Christ because yes. I've let it become just a rigid habit or the way that I live my life, and I'm not looking for Christ in those things anymore. And that can be a difficult thing. People that have been part of a church or have been living in a church or been part of a ministry or been doing things for a long time can fall into these habits where I don't even think about what I'm doing, which in one sense is great because I keep doing the same things as long as those things are positive things and are not sinful and all those different things. But then I'm missing the specificity. I'm missing the intention of Christ in those different things that I'm going through because I'm just doing it by habit.
Yeah. If we put ourselves like in this situation, like as it's going on,
and we think of
when we were first saved, whenever that is for each of us, like different times, different places, different scenarios, but when we're first saved and we're learning who Christ really is in our lives, how harmful can it be to see this group of people come in, faces like very stern or sad or like looking in pain. Oh, we're fasting. Fasting. And we're just looking at it like, wait, aren't you guys supposed to be like, you're the religious leaders. Aren't you guys supposed to be believers? Like we just received this amazing deliverance in our lives. We've been created. We're brand new. Do I need to be like that? Mm-hmm. And there's like this dissonance that takes place. Like, okay, I got saved, but now do I go back to this? Cause this is what these guys are doing and they're seasoned and they've been doing it a long time. Like, God, no, no, please get away from that. Please keep your eyes on Christ. Please listen to his words here. Listen to what he's saying.
Yeah.
It even says, there's, you know, three versions of this, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And here in Luke chapter 5, verse 39, it has one extra verse, like one extra thing he said. It says, no man also having drunk old wine straightway desires new. For he said the old is better. And this is true if you think about it naturally. Like, okay, not to talk about this, but we're going to talk about this. Like wine that's been on the shelf for a long time. Like when you think of, or when you see it in movies or when you've been to a fancy restaurant, what are they trying to sell you? Are they trying to sell you the stuff from 2024 and 2020? Yeah. Or are they trying to sell you the stuff from like 1980s and prior? Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to get you to get the old wine tastes better.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, you have this new life. You're a new person, but everyone's trying to sell you on all this, all these old, empty, dead works that have no life in them of themselves. What makes that change? What makes a difference? It's faith. Mm. It's that relationship with Christ. It's that including him in all of this. Okay, I'm not just fasting for the sake of fasting. I am fasting because Christ is no longer here. What does it say? Mm. The days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast in those days. We're in those days right now. We can fast. Mm-hmm. It's a real thing. Mm-hmm. And God is in that, and Christ is in that. But if our faith is in the fasting,
yes,
then we've bought into the 1980s wine instead of buying into the life and presence and vitality we have with Christ in that moment. Mm-hmm. As we're doing that before God, it's like pouring out our soul before God when we fast.
Yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, and I think like those things that we do, those habits that we have, that in some ways can be our helping us to understand the new wine initially. Like we can kind of get stuck in those and go on autopilot, and we can miss Christ in those different things and just continue and continue and continue, and then never have the realization of like, is this actually drawing me closer to Christ anymore? Mm. You know, I can go to church every week and go to church every week and go to church every week and never actually see Christ in that moment or hear from God or have it impact my life because I'm just, it's just a habit for me.
Yeah.
And it's something that I'm not saying we shouldn't go to church, sure, obviously, but sure, just like how that can be just cultural Christianity or something that I just, it becomes part of my way of life, not necessarily for the person that I'm looking to get closer to, but just because it's my schedule and that's what I do.
Yeah.
And there's other things that can creep into that same type of framework where I just do them because that's what I've always done, or that's the thing that I know and is familiar and all those different things. And I never have that time of, okay, well, let's look at these things that I'm doing, mm-hmm, and see, are these things beneficial for me? And are they drawing me closer to Christ, or does something need to change?
Sure.
And again, that's like the difficult thing, because if this is not drawing me closer to Christ,
yeah,
and I should change it, what are the ramifications of that change in my life?
Yeah.
Because it's, okay, maybe it means I need to change my schedule. Maybe it means I need to change my purpose, or maybe I need to just adjust my way of life or my opinion about a particular thing, or mm-hmm, I need to move to a different location, or whatever the case may be. There's the ramifications of, okay, this is an old wineskin in my life, mm-hmm, and I want new, I want to, or this is old wine in an old wineskin, and I want to know the new wine of Christ in this area of my, mm-hmm, life. Because not only that, positionally or our experience, but the phases we go through in our walk of faith also, like as we, you know, we're both fathers, we're husbands and fathers of three kids. Now Matt has three kids.
I joined the club.
Exactly. Welcome.
Thank you. Still figuring it out.
Yeah. He's alive still. But like, as you go through these phases, like maybe the new wine and the new wineskin that you had as a single guy in Bible college is, I mean, it is different than the wine,
totally
like what
different.
God is teaching you and what you're learning from him, yes, now in this phase of your life. So yes, for me to pretend like the ways that I live my life and the amount of free time you had and personal time with God you had in Bible college or when you're single or whatever it is, to assume that that's going to hold you over through the other areas of your life, which, I mean, it's depending on the person, obviously, but there you, sure, have these different phases where, yeah, it's like, I need to go to God. I need, yeah, to like receive the new wine of Christ, mm-hmm, in each of these areas and not say, thanks for the wine, God. Thanks for the wineskin. I'm good. I don't need anymore. I'm good. And positionally, from a justification standpoint, yeah, that is true. But experientially, we always need like the freshness of, sure, the life of Christ in us. And the picture of a river is like something that is throughout scripture that I think points toward this as well.
Oh,
like,
totally.
We, yeah, always need to come back to get some freshness and some newness of what,
yeah,
God is giving and what God has for us. And in the same way, the wine that we have, that we're carrying with us in the wineskin that we have we need to be available to let God bring new wine and a new wineskin. And maybe that means a new career. Maybe that means a new shift in our ministry. Maybe that means a new thing. Maybe not even doing something different, but,
yeah,
stepping back from something necessarily, yes, yeah, as well.
Well, I mean, yeah, either or. Here's a verse that came to mind as you were speaking, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. This is really good. This is New Year's Eve. This is a great verse to take into the new year and say, and this is so, yes, pertinent to our subject. This is exactly what we're talking about.
Yes, yes.
And thank you guys for commenting in, Aretta, Elizabeth, Carol. We see your comments. We love them. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Yeah. Prove your own selves. Know not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Like, do you know what is working and what isn't working right now? Hmm. What is old wine in an old wineskin that you're just sipping off of, like, mm-hmm, like for lack of a better picture, you're just, mm-hmm, sipping off of because it's what you've always known and what you've always done versus what Christ is so ready and willing and able to do in your life in this upcoming year. It says in Ephesians 3:20, like after, as Paul is praying, it says, unto him who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. So maybe you've been asking for something this entire year. Like, have you asked with faith, with that relationship with Christ in mind, knowing that he is for you and not against you, that nothing can separate you from him, that he will never leave you or forsake you? Have you asked with that in your heart and mind, saying, okay, Lord, I've given it to you. Now it's up to you. I believe you can do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think, but I'm going to continue to examine myself and see what I need to bring to you in faith. That's what it says, whether you be in faith. Lord, can I bring that to you in faith? And that's such a healthy, healthy thing. Psalm 139, 23, search me, O God, know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Psalm 51, verse 10. I was talking to a student this morning. Psalm 51, verse 10. We talked about these two verses. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. All of these are like renewing, new, fresh, new wine, new wineskin. Let the fermentation begin. Like, let those gases go. Let the wineskin grow. Let the whole thing transform and change, because one day that that new wine and that new wineskin will become old wine and old wineskin. And we're going to ask God to pour it out fresh again.
Yeah.
And be a new vessel again.
Yeah. And I can't help but think of this. He can do exceedingly above all I can ask or think. There's this expansion that happens. And, you know, the Galilean wedding where Christ, you know, turns the water into wine, and the master of the, or the father of the head of the house, he says, oh, well, usually they give the good wine at the beginning and the bad wine at the end after everybody's...
The watered down stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. But he's giving us the newest wine. And in the same way, like we think that the wine we have is as good as it's going to get, maybe in one sense. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this. And I'm not discounting that in one sense, but like we can hold on so tight to this experience that we have and what we know and what we think is possible and what we maybe, and with good intention, you know, God has put a desire, we have consistency, we have faithfulness in the things we have, but how much more can God do? And what new wine that I haven't tasted?
Yeah.
Like maybe this old wine, I like the flavor, whatever, we're using this metaphor a little bit more, like, but there's something that's greater, something that's better that I'm missing out on because I'm so connected with this old wine or this old wineskins or this way of doing things or this life that I'm so familiar with.
Yes.
Or, and as you were saying, a lot of times those familiarities or those things that I have don't require me to have faith.
Right.
They are just familiar.
Rote practice.
Yeah. And like I was saying before, in some cases, I don't even think about it. Like, I don't think about how to tie my shoes or, putting my coat on or turning my car, whatever it is. We have these things that we do every day and they become mindless types of things. But examining our life, that's such a good word in 2 Corinthians 13. They're examining our faith, our walk of faith. Like, okay, Lord, is this what you have for me? Is this something that I'm relying on you for? Or is it something that's just, I've always been a part of? It's just rinse and repeat every week, every day, whatever it is. And is there a freshness there? Is there a newness there that I'm missing out on? And search my heart to make sure this is not me just changing for changing sake.
Yeah.
Because there's that aspect too.
Like, oh, totally.
Oh, you've done this. You just need to change. You need to change it up. And that's not necessarily
That's also
healthy.
The millennial way.
Exactly. It's like, oh.
And the Gen Z way, Jehu.
I don't want to be a slave and just abide by the status quo. I want to do above. Okay. That's a real mindset, but that's not necessarily what God wants for us either. But this search my heart mentality of, Lord, I want to know you and I want to see and experience the freshness of the law of the spirit of life as opposed to the law of sin and death, right?
Nice.
Want this, like, I don't want to just be drinking old wine in an old wineskin or just going along with what I've always done or what has always been done in my family or in my church or in my country or whatever it is. I want it to be something that's beyond and something that's more, and that's like an exciting thing that we hold ourselves. I mean, I personal testimony, this is like really, really speaking to me. And over the last year, it's been like, oh my gosh, I've been drinking the old wine. And I'm just like, as I'm saying, and as we've been talking, like, oh my gosh, this is totally me.
Yeah.
But now it's like, okay, Lord, search my heart, Lord, give me this new wine and help me to see like where you want me to be and where you want me to go and what my relationship with God can be in a real way, because I know what this tastes like and it's familiar, it's comfortable, it's consistent, it's real.
Yeah.
And it's beneficial in one sense, but there can be more.
Oh yeah.
And there is more that there Christ is. Has for us. And
like,
it's amazing.
Like Christ is everywhere, right? Yeah. He's everywhere. He's in everything. He's like, he knows our down sitting, like earlier on in Psalm 139, he knows our down sitting and our uprising. He's before us and behind, like he's everywhere.
Yes. Yes.
And so where can we go? Where can we flee? What does it say? Where can I flee, Lord? And not like to not be in your presence, but like he's there.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's holding us back, really?
Yeah.
Like, okay, you're listening to the show. Yeah. Rinse and repeat, yes. you're listening to the show, and, you know, your life, same old, same old. Have you ever prayed for a particular place or people group? Like, that could be new wine and a new wineskin. Have you ever given to a church or a missionary? That could be new wine and new wineskin. Mm. These are things that like, okay, well, you know, I've always tithed or I've always focused on my neighbors, which is great. All of these things are great things, but it could be that it's just rote, repetitious, like nothing dead, you know? So like, what can we do different without changing who we are and who Christ says we are, but how can we follow him in some place where he already is? He's already there. Moses said, God, I don't want to go if you don't go before me.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is God's answer to Moses? I'm going before you. Yeah. Like I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I've said it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be there. And you alluded to this the other day, maybe yesterday when we were talking, like the manna in the wilderness.
Yes. Yes.
Like this is a really key facet to learn about in our lives. The Israelites, in the wilderness, they needed new manna every day.
Yes.
They needed to rely on Jesus again the next day. If they stored up the manna, what happened to it?
It went bad.
It went bad. It became moldy. But if they relied on his provision for that day, then they had everything they needed. Mm-hmm. And that's the same for us. We just rely on Christ for his provision for every good and perfect gift. Like that's a daily provision from God. There was something else that came to mind. It's gone now, but I'm sorry. I'm rambling now.
No, it's good. I think that like we can become familiar with the manna illustration. I think of this phrase, becoming familiar with the miraculous.
Yeah.
Like even they had manna for 40 years and they complained about the manna and then God brought the quail and all that stuff. But like we can, like God has a provision for us each day and we can be, and I think maybe generationally this can be a thing where like, is this it? You know, like, oh, I got the new wine, I got the new wineskins, and then, okay, well, what else, what's next? You know, we're looking for the spectacular thing. We're looking for, oh, wait, well, I want to, and I was listening to a podcast talking about, like, calling and knowing what you're called to do and how we can find the call of God on our lives and how we navigate those different things and how a lot of times, especially younger generation, they're looking for some. They say, God, just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it.
Yeah.
And like, I've been in that camp and been in that situation where like, oh, Lord, what would you have me to do?
Sure.
And like, the reality is he's told us what he wants us to do, you know, to rejoice in him always, to pray without ceasing and to honor him with our lives and glorify him with what we do.
Like, yeah.
That's what he wants you to do. It's like, okay, but he doesn't want me to go to Africa and be a missionary or go to North Korea and sit, you know, he doesn't want me to do this spectacular thing for him. It's like, maybe he does, but he told you what to do in the interim and we can kind of get like, make that new wine that he has into old wine with before we even actually tasted it. It's like, oh, wait, this is all I'm supposed to do? Because with young people or with people that are, you know, young adults maybe that are out of college or they get a job and they have a family and it's like, okay, well now what? Because all of our life is like, I'm working towards something new and something, accomplishing something. And then you get to a point where, what am I supposed to accomplish?
Yeah.
Well, you just go to your job and make money and that's a small viewpoint of it, but there's more to our life than just that. But they can kind of, or people can kind of have it be that they're like, oh, there's got to be something more. So then they go back to school or they get a different job or whatever. They're looking for this freshness and this newness. The reality is it's in Christ and it's in his
exactly.
life. And it
exactly.
comes into those things that yes. maybe seem boring or maybe
and
seem
those things
familiar.
Could be spectacular.
Yeah.
Those things could be amazing
yeah.
if Christ is included. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph
yes.
in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. It's like when we do things with Christ, we are overcomers. We are mm-hmm. victors. We are like causing us to triumph. It's like, you know, the Olympics being on the podium and you're like the number one spot, like yep. causing us to triumph.
Yep.
Right. And then, okay, go back to the new creation verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay. You're a new creature. That's a great, amazing new thing. Now, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
Like take a step in faith in the direction, like what does it talk about right after that? It talks about reconciliation verses mm-hmm. 18 through 21. Mm-hmm. Learn what it means to have been reconciled and go out and find another individual who needs to hear that like hope and light in their darkness, who mm-hmm. needs to hear what it means that Christ came the whole way for them mm-hmm. in particular mm-hmm. and watch their life get transformed. And is that not spectacular?
Yeah.
Like, is that not amazing? And that's just like four verses after mm-hmm. New Creature. Imagine how many verses we have left in the Bible to think about what God or what Christ has us to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's like this long obedience, this long game that we are, like this new wine and the freshness, yes, there's the excitement of it, and maybe I'm looking for this amazing transformation, which does happen, but sometimes the transformation is not what I think it's going to be, and sometimes it's like, yeah, long obedience in the same direction
yeah.
and moving, like I'm moving from glory to glory. I'm moving from like, from my sanctification is such a process that we're going through. And maybe that doesn't mean that it's not miraculous.
Right.
It doesn't mean that it's not impacting my life. It's maybe not.
Or others around you. Yeah.
The gratification isn't going to be immediate, but do I want it to be and wear off? Or do I want it to be something that's established and something that is real and something that is true and not something that is just familiar,
yeah.
but something that is like living and powerful. And that's like the word of God is that way too. And thinking about that victorious triumph you were talking about, it talks about the fragrance of life leading to life and the fragrance yes. of death leading to death.
Yeah.
Going back to the manna illustration, I was like, can we turn the manna that God gives us, the miraculous things, the new wine, a new wineskin, and we preserve it and we hold on to it and then it starts to smell bad. And yeah. it can be like, wait, I thought this was supposed to be like the life of Christ and now it's the obligation that I
yes,
have.
Yes.
It's the, oh, I feel bad about myself because I didn't fast, because I didn't pray, because I didn't go to the homeless shelter, whatever it is. I can turn that amazing, miraculous thing that God has given me into something that makes me forget the victory that yeah. I have in him.
Right.
And I think that that can, you know, the crystallization of that wineskin or of that thing and the hardening of it can force me to like not to miss Christ in all these other aspects of yeah. my life, as we saw in the Pharisees and as we saw in those people that we were talking about in Matthew chapter 9.
Yeah.
And we can see that in our culture and today mm. where whatever yeah. people growing up in the church, people that have learned about Christ and they have maybe lost the freshness of what it is and are missing Christ because of the habits or because of the sacraments or because yeah. of the things that they're doing for him. And he's actually been there all along, but they've missed it because the focus has been on the wrong thing.
Right. I'm gonna leave our listeners with like a little challenge, if that's okay.
Go for it.
Because it's the last day of the year and I'm that's on right. here for whatever reason, I'm here. Okay. You guys want a new wineskin for 2025? Like you want a new wineskin? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talks about giving, talks about fasting, talks about praying. But in every single way that he talks about these things, he says, do these things in secret unto the Lord. Mm. Like when it comes to giving, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. When it comes to praying, go into your closet alone. Mm-hmm. When it comes to fasting, put oil on your yeah, face, make it look face. Like yeah. everything's normal, that yeah. you're having a regular day. You want a new wineskin for 2025? Go in secret with God on a mission. Mm. Whatever mission God puts in your heart, go on, like, don't tell anyone about it. Keep this in your heart and let Christ the entire year pour teaching, pour new wine into that new wineskin that you're like giving to him and saying, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me. And I guarantee it says all throughout Matthew chapter 6 that those people who do those things publicly, they have their reward already. But it says, if you do it secretly, God will reward you. Like God will show up in those instances, whatever you give to him right now, today or tomorrow or for the next year, like God will fill it and God will do something amazing with it. And it will be a blessing, not only in your life, but also in the life of many people around you.
Yeah. And a blessing that's above all we can ask or think, as big as God is.
Amen.
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 Well, thanks for listening to the show today. Make sure you subscribe in all the different places, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, all the things.
Yes.
And be sure to check out the rest of the episodes this week, and have a happy new year.